Welcome to Good News for Today. I'm Marty Sewell, your host and president of American Church Services and Marty Sewell Productions. Today, our guest pastor is Vicar Chris Durham of the Lutheran Theological Seminary at Fort Wayne, Indiana. Chris will be with us in just a moment after these brief words.
If you have a problem at night going from one room to another in a dark hallway, stairways that could use illumination going up or down, or need a night light for any room, see your friends at Batteries Plus Bulbs and ask them about their new Mr. Beam Step deck light that lights up when anyone comes within a few feet of the sensitive bright LED light fixture that fits anywhere, offering a bright light to your darkened path. It can be used indoors or outdoors, is battery operated, fits in the palm of your hand, and even lasts up to 20 years. Call Ted and the pros at Batteries Plus Bulbs for your personal cell phone, iPhone, or domestic electrical or other energy needs. Their number is 267-583-3090. The number again is 267-583-3090. They're in the Fairless Hill Shopping Center, corner of Route 1 and Oxford Valley Road. Their hours are Monday to Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., Saturday from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., and on Sunday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. So stop in today and walk in the light and not in the dark.
Guy and his cheap transmission fluid.
Seriously? My dealership just checked the brakes.
We all know how it can be to go to the wrong place for car repair.
I can't believe that check engine light is on again.
So don't risk it. Take your car to the experts at AAMCO. AAMCO.
People who know, come to AAMCO of Bristol Levittown. Make an appointment today for our air conditioning tune-up, including a system inspection, leak check, and dye test if needed for $129.95. Simply call 215-949-1400. Call today.
Yeah. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's sermon is taken from the Gospel, but we begin our meditation on the divine word first with the words of the introit. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. There is no speech or words that are not heard. The earth and all its fullness declare the glory of God, and all that is sounded in heaven and on earth is heard by the Almighty himself. David means to tell us in this psalm that all things, even in the state of groaning under sin that creation suffers under, still speak, they still testify of the glorious works that God does. But this testimony is not all that is heard. For in fact, David also tells us that all speech, all words, yours, mine, and all the thoughts of everyone are known by God. If we reflect on this fact, it's more than a little bit frightening, don't you think? We know that what we say can have a big impact on others, and what others say to or about us impacts ourselves. That's part of the power of words. But that each sentence, each syllable, is known to God, even those in the confines of our minds, where so often we hear the echoes of anger, lust, wicked thoughts, covetousness bubbling up from our hearts. Even these are known to God. There is the terror. For this reason, our Lord said in another place, "What comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person." How often are we defiled by little white lies that we tell without any reason, or simply to save face? How often are we defiled by words spoken with malice in our hearts? How often does the gossip which comes from our lips about our neighbors or our family or our friends pollute what we say? The thing about gossip, like bald-faced lies and other kinds of slander, is that something in us, in our sinful nature, likes to obsess about it. We dwell on it and turn it over in our minds and become more and more focused on it. We like talking about whatever piece of gossip has grabbed our ears' attention. So we rehash it, we dwell on it, we repeat it over and over again. The phrase, a juicy piece of gossip, is more a reflection on our obsession than it is on the importance of whatever information we happen to be sharing. Such slandering isn't just the kind of crass, blatant tabloid gossip that you can find in Dan's or in Barnes & Noble. It can also easily be the very subtle kind, which pretends to speak out of concern for the neighbor, or demands that something has to be said when no one else will, when in fact it provides no help for our neighbor at all. In the 8th commandment, we hear, "You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor." In the 8th commandment, God tells us that when we sin, we commit great evil. Not only when we lie, that is, when we make things up or deceive intentionally, but when we leave things out, when we speak without charity, when we hurt or harm our neighbor's reputation by spreading false things about them. When we speak in this way, our neighbor is harmed, and our words become like a putrid stench rising up before God. And if we try to defend ourselves, saying, "Well, it's just the truth. That's really what happened," aren't we still speaking out of the sinful desires of our hearts, defending the very source of the wicked words? In this way, we make a kind of confession. It's the sort of confession that the Israelites made when they paid lip service to God by observing rituals set down in the law of Moses, but had nothing to do with believing what God said. God said of such people, "This people draw near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me." And to those who brought whole burnt offerings and the sacrifice of bulls, but united their lives and their words with iniquity, who sang praises to false gods, the Lord of hosts declared, "I have had enough of burnt offerings. I do not delight in the blood of bulls, or of lambs, or of goats. I cannot endure iniquity and solemn assembly." What then shall we do? If our self-justifying ways of covering up our words and deeds fail, is there any way we can be cleansed from our sins? Any way to clear the air of the foul stench of our words? It's the same problem as before. Anything that we try to come up with on our own, anything we could say or do, will ultimately come from the same sinful heart. But God doesn't leave us to come up with our own righteousness, nor does he leave us with our own words. God gives us new words to speak. The Holy Spirit teaches us another way to confess. This way doesn't cover up sin, doesn't justify it, doesn't normalize it. Instead, it pleads for God's mercy and cleansing redemption from transgression. The Holy Spirit teaches us in the words of another Psalm of David that we are to confess our sins, saying, "I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight." These words fill our mouths with an aroma pleasing to the Lord, words of repentance. For as David says a little later, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Confession, when God gives us the words to speak, has two parts. In the first part, God teaches us to speak out, to confess our sins, to release them with our mouth, those of which we know and the ones we don't know, not only of our sinful words, but our thoughts and deeds also. In the second part, God teaches us how he answers our sin. "Though your sins are as scarlet," he says, "they shall be white as snow." Perhaps you've noticed by now that this pattern of God-taught confession is a little bit familiar. Dr. Luther said that it was the foundation for our whole Christian life. And indeed, it is the very beginning of all our services, isn't it? God's word calls us, "Let us make confession." And we say, "I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities." And in answer, the Lord, who won forgiveness, life, and salvation for you, speaks, as we hear from the mouth of the pastor, "In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus, I forgive all your sins." To hear how this promise is most assuredly ours, we must learn of a third kind of confession. This kind we hear of in the gospel reading. This third kind, too, is from God, but it is not a confession of sin, but rather a confession of the divinely revealed and taught capital T faith. That is to say, the faith which God reveals and makes known by his word and in his word. John's words in the gospel reading, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world," are of this third kind. in a way similar to Peter's confession, that is, that Jesus is the Christ. This sort of confession is not known by the way of flesh. Remember, when Peter confessed that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus answers and says, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." This sort of confession is not known by the way of flesh. It cannot be discerned by the wisest of men, but must be revealed by God. Because John's ministry was a preaching of repentance, it could be summed up in the same way we've been talking about confession just before. He calls Jerusalem and all Judea to come to the Jordan and confess their sins, to turn back from their sinful life, and to put their trust in the Messiah, to look for and wait for patiently the hope of the Lord. But when at last the Savior appeared on the banks of the Jordan, John cried out, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." With these words, John makes a confession that doesn't have to do with the weight of sin, but speaks of the very one who was before John. The Messiah, the eternal Word, the one who was in the beginning with God, and who is God himself. John confesses these words with faith in the one he is speaking of, just as we confess the same uncreated Lord Jesus in the words of the Creed. Now, John himself was not the light, the true light coming into the world, but he came before to testify concerning the light. This light was Jesus. And so, pointing directly at the man standing on the banks, John speaks these words, "After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. This is the servant who Isaiah spoke of in the Old Testament reading. I will make you a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." John speaks with a confidence of a person who rests his words on the sure and certain promises of God, like those found in Isaiah. He knows that this Jesus he's pointing at is the Christ. His word is true, not because it is John's word, but because it is the word of God, as he says, "I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on who you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'" And John bears witness that this one is the Son of God. The words of his mouth and the certain meditation of his heart was fixed on the Lamb. And in this way, John becomes a teacher for us. For having received the repentance, received God's call to repent, and being taught by God to confess that faith which he reveals to us in his word, John becomes an example for us that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts are to be fixed on the Lamb. For we too have been called back from our sins. We too have been called out of darkness and into the light who enlightens all men. We too rest on his sure and certain promises. And where is his promise found today? It is upon the altar, where we proclaim to you with no uncertainty, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Come, dear brothers and sisters, redeemed of the Lord, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see at this table set before you by your Lord Jesus the blessed food of eternal life, which he delivers to you to cleanse you from all sin. In his holy name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith, unto life everlasting.
Amen.
Metro Diner, where the locals eat. Folks who know where to go year-round for breakfast, lunch, and dinner weekly specials. They flock to the Metro Diner that's been serving Lower Buck County since 2016. Metro Diner is located at 3630 Street Road in Bensalem. They're open daily from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. and 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Sundays. Takeout orders can be made by calling 215-261-7080. The number again is 215-261-7080. So whether you're getting ready for a Phillies or Eagles game, breakfast, lunch, or dinner, join the crowd in fun at the Metro Diner. Metro Diner, where the locals eat.
When you want to catch fish, wise folk know you get the best fishing spots from neighborhood fishermen. When it comes to your car and homeowner's insurance needs, you don't want to go fishing for an agent. If you need a good neighbor for your car or homeowner's insurance, do what the wise people do. Get a good neighbor like your State Farm insurance agent. In Philadelphia, that's Mark Ziegler. Call 215-753-1501 for friendly personal service and a review of all available discounts. Once again, that number for a free quote, 215-753-1501. Give Mark Ziegler, your neighborhood State Farm agent, a call today. You'll be glad you did.
I'm a U.S. Army chaplain who knows how difficult it is to open a Bible and read it in the field. But the Military Bible Seek makes it easy to listen to the Word of God everywhere, even when I'm serving on deployments.
Military Bible Stick. What is it? The audio Word of God in a digital device, small enough to be used anywhere and tough enough for even the battlefield. See for yourself. Visit MilitaryBibleStick.com.
ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you very much for listening. We hope you received a word of inspiration from Chris's message today. Our Bible verse for this week comes from Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks once again for listening. See you next week, same time, same station.